B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on a Monday. It's a re-entry Monday. Felger and Maz is presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England on NBC Sports Boston. Also brought to you by DraftKings. Our re-entry Mondays, where everything from the weekend is on the table, is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. This first hour will be re-entry, although we're going to have a big eye on the NHL trade deadline, which comes your way in just 1 hour's time. 57 minutes, to be exact.
1 hour until the NHL trade deadline.
If I got to keep trying to squeeze my ass in those seats, you better make a move, Sweeney. Come on.
So we will be monitoring throughout the course of the day, throughout the hour for sure. We'll see if the Bruins do anything. They've already made a minor move. So first hour, NHL trade deadline and anything from the weekend. That Celtics game yesterday, which has a lot of meat on the bone. We have some specific thoughts on that later on in the show. You want to talk about the heavyweight fight on Saturday night? By all means, the Brady watch, the CBA, et cetera, et cetera. Your phone number is 617-779-0985. The Bruins have already swung a small deal. If you haven't heard, Danton Heinen is out, and Nick Ritchie, a bigger, sturdier forward from Anaheim, is in. It's a minor move that saves the Bruins over $1 million in cap space, and they get bigger in the process. I really like that move because I was done watching Danton Heinen.
Now that the Bruins have cornered the market on the Ritchie family?
Yeah.
Because he's Brett's brother, right?
I believe so. I don't know.
So coming soon, Nicole and Lionel, they're going to get all the Richies in here. Like, I look at this deal, and I'm okay with the size part of it. But I don't know. I mean, I don't get terribly excited about it. I mean, they save some money. It's not a bad deal. I'm not telling you. I'm happy they got a bigger guy. I'm certainly not going to lose any sleep over the fact that Danton Heinen's gone. So fine.
You'd like it. You've been talking a lot about their size.
I do, but it's not.
And Danton Heinen does absolutely nothing.
Okay, so but I want someone with size who can play.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, if you're going to have a guy that does absolutely nothing, he might as well do absolutely nothing and be big.
Okay, so that costs $1 million less.
And exactly. Yeah, he'd be $1 million cheaper, and he does hit people. He does. So if I'm going to get zeros across the board, at least give me someone who can stand up for a teammate or hit somebody every now and then is going to be cheaper. Like, that to me, I like it. Like, I feel okay about that one.
So am I a terrible person to want more?
Yeah, no, of course not. No. Of course, I'm not saying, like, you know, we're going to do backflips and this is the day. No. I'm still hoping here in the next 54 minutes that something happens. But it's a nice little precursor. I mean, they're active. They're tinkering. And I think that's important. You know, you're just sort of making moves at the margins. When you're a Stanley Cup team, a Stanley Cup contending team, that's what you do. I mean, you're not going to dismantle the best team in the league, you know, again, just point-wise here. But you make little moves around the margins to improve where you can because it's all going to add up at the end. And so I'm glad they did. I think both their moves improved them at the margin. Now let's see if they got something bigger up their sleeve.
Okay, so I hope they do because, again, I just worry that ultimately they're not going to be good enough to beat Pittsburgh or Washington, and let alone the fact Tampa. Like, and really, all three of those, because I feel like all three of those teams have been active as well. And so that's the part that worries me. And look, I admit that after all the hype surrounding some of the names out there, Kreider, Palmieri, you know, I wanted something bigger. So I'm not telling you the deadline's been a bust or anything. I get it. But to me, I still want something bigger.
All right, so help me because I'm just logging in. I'm not on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Kreider has re-signed with the Rangers.
Correct.
So that's off the board.
Yep. Yeah.
Is Palmieri still out there?
Yeah.
He's still available, yeah.
Okay, so keep an eye on that. Like, I think that's a better fit than Kreider. I narrowed that down last week. Never mind that he's a right shot. He has term, and that's something that helps you now and into the future. I told you those rentals scare me. And so I wanted Palmieri over Kreider. Palmieri's still in play, apparently. I'd also keep your eye on Joe Thornton. There were reports that he was on the Bruins' list, maybe down on their list, but on their list. if all they did for the rest of the day, if all they did today was swap out Heinen for Richie and sign Joe Thornton, or, you know, a minor trade for Joe Thornton, how would you feel about the day?
Meh.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't love it. But you know what? I didn't love it last year either, and they had a great deadline. And so I looked at Coyle and Johansson, and I went, meh. And then as it turned out, they were terrific. And it does feel like Coyle keeps getting better. I know Cassidy made a comment after one of the games recently. He said he thought it was the best game Coyle has played, rather, as a member of the Bruins. And every time you watch him, especially when he gets in near the net alone and he has a little bit of space, boy, he can finish too. So there is a lot to like there. And so I just got my hopes up. That's all I'm telling you. Okay, I know I'm a bad person. I'm just telling you I got my hopes up. And so when I heard some, I would love to see them get Palmieri. When I started to, you know, do a little research on Palmieri last week, it felt to me like he was a good fit for them, and I'd like them to get Palmieri.
He's the guy. I would agree. And he was a guy, even I wanted him more than Kreider when I really started to think about it last week. But make no mistake, you are in position. You are in position. I gave you some of these numbers maybe a couple weeks ago, but I'll just do it again. The Bruins have the most points in the league. By 5 points clear of the next team, which is Tampa, and you'll see a lot of commonality here. It feels like it's you and Tampa, and it sucks that they're in your division, and it's a, you know, second-round matchup, but be that as it may, first in the league with points with 90, 5 clear of Tampa. Wins, regulation overtime, that first tiebreaker, first with 39, Tampa second with 38. Point percentage, first, 714, Tampa second, 685. Goal differential, you're second in the league. Tampa's first, plus 50, you're plus 49. Goals against per game, first in the league, 241. And Rask is the odds-on Vezina winner right now. Goals per game, seventh. So you're top 10 offense, you're the number one defense. Power play, second. Penalty kill, third. You're tops in the league in just about everything.
Yes.
So you're in that position. And let me tell you this. I feel differently about this team than I did in 2013, or 2014, rather, 2013-14, which they were in a similar spot. They lose to the Blackhawks in the 2013 final. Then they won the President's Trophy the next year. They won the President's Trophy the next year, and that's when they lost in the second round to Montreal in seven games, game seven here in Boston. I feel so much better about this Bruins team than I did about that Bruins team in 2013-14. Should I feel that way? Should I feel better about this team?
Oh, no, this team warrants your trust.
Yeah, more than that one, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
That one back, maybe it's because I didn't love the coach. I didn't love the way they played, even with all their success. I didn't love the way that Bruins team played. Even when they were winning, you know, I just didn't love the way they played. And certainly they won a cup with it and all of that and went to another cup, but I still never, I don't know, that second year, that President's Trophy winning year, after they lost the cup to the Blackhawks, I still wasn't all in on them.
They were a wagon, though, Mike. I feel like this is kind of revisionist history. That team was stacked that year. It was so good.
If you go back and listen to my commentary, I bet you would hear that.
You're consistent. You were still.
I remember not loving them. I remember not loving them. I remember not loving their chances against Montreal, even that second round. I remember thinking they were going to lose Game 7 at home to Montreal in that, I don't know. I mean, I was critical of Claude throughout. Me and Wiggy wanted to fire him off the duck boat, right? So I don't know. I just feel this team. I feel this team is more driven, a little more focused.
And I just think at the end of the day, disappointment's in their DNA. So it doesn't matter who the coach is, how they look, how different it is. It's just that's the Bruins' experience.
It might be. It might be. I just think there's something about in 2013-14. They had won the cup just a couple years before, and yeah, they had lost to the Blackhawks the year before, but it's not like they blew it. They didn't blow it to the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks were a better team, and that just came out through those six games. Last year, they left one on the table. They should have won that. They should have won it, and I feel like it's been driving them the whole season, and I just feel differently about this team than I did about the one a couple years ago. I don't know what that means. I guess what it means is you should really invest in this team if you're Don Sweeney, and there's still time for him to do it. I think he will.
Yeah, to me, it's not them that I worry about. It's the field. I mean,
it feels good. There's no doubt about it. And it's all right here. It's Tampa. It's Pittsburgh. It's Washington. It's all in your face.
I mean, I just think the road is just going to be brutal. I mean, I think now. Look, I thought it was going to be brutal last year when it opened up for them. So somewhere in there, they're going to need to catch a break because any team that wins has to catch a break somewhere along the line. So that's all. I just, you know, it's not them that I worry about. I believe in their guys. I believe in their makeup. I believe in their skill. And they're probably more skilled than I can ever remember them being. They play a faster, more skilled game than ever. And so I believe in that part. I just worry that when they go up against the absolute giants, and I mean that in multiple ways, that they're going to get pushed around and they're going to have a hard time getting through it.
So I don't think you should sneeze at the Heinen move, Maz. It speaks to something that they're willing to part with him. If that were a Celtic, oh my God, we can't trade Danton Heinen. I don't know if we have a roster spot. Like, drafted, developed, given you some success, a decent young player that's been a part of your system and been a part of your success. And
some fans think he's better than he actually is. Yeah, no, that's, he would never get moved.
Right, I mean, but the Celtics would be like, oh my God, well, you can't, no. You know, whoever comes in is going to have to vie for minutes with Danton Heinen. And I just think it shows some recognition on their part that they're willing to part with their guys to get a little bit better on the margins or round out their team where they're not rounded out. And they're clearly not rounded out with size or physicality. And this does it. And to get that, they gave up someone that they could have been more patient with. They could have believed in. They've invested in the guy. And he's done something for them. And some people like him. Some people like the guy. I think he's freaking useless. Oh my God, I just can't. I can't take any more of just him floating around out there. What? It's one thing to not be productive and to make a physical mark, which we'll all take. He didn't do it. A very quiet game, so quiet as to be invisible. So he's gone. Danton Heinen is gone, and I think that's a sign. And it's a sign that they're willing to tinker around the edges of the team that they've built or invested in. That's a good sign. So Palmieri is still out there. I'd keep your eye on Joe Thornton. I just have a sneaking suspicion.
You have inside info?
No, I don't. I never have inside info.
Well, no, that's not true. Sometimes you have inside info.
Very rarely.
I just didn't know if a little birdie said something in your ear about Thornton.
No, I saw Joe Haggerty post a tweet from someone in Canada that said he's on their, still on their list. They have targets on top of Joe Thornton, but he's on their list. So I just get, and I think San Jose is sort of in that mode. They traded Patrick Marleau to Pittsburgh. Yeah. Did Pittsburgh give up a first-round pick for Patrick Marleau?
I think it was a third.
Was it a third?
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense. Oh, no, that's right. So I'm sorry. Toronto had to give up a first to ditch Patrick
Marleau. To get rid of him, right.
I'm sorry. So even a third-round pick for Patrick Marleau, though, feels like a lot.
A third that becomes a second if the Penguins win the Stanley Cup.
Okay. So that's still a steep price. But anyway, if San Jose's sort of in that mode, dealing those guys, I think Thornton's there for you. And so how would you feel about that? How would you feel about that, Joe Thornton skating around on your fourth line?
Oh, what a story that would
tremendous.
Be.
Tremendous.
That's a good story.
Tremendous.
No, thanks.
It's a good story, though.
It's a reentry Monday. We'll get to your phones right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, reentry Monday with an eye towards the NHL trade deadline, which is 40 minutes away. There is one thing that I am aggravated with the team in, or with, and that's pending the Palmieri thing in New Jersey, pending what they do today. Vinny Trocheck was available. Turns out Vincent Trocheck was available. And he went in a package that did not include a first-round pick, which means you easily could have matched. Now, the players, again, Vincent Trocheck went from Florida to Carolina. And the four guys, you probably never heard of. There's two NHLers, but they're sort of bottom six guys. And I'm going to mispronounce the names. Eric Haula? He's a left wing forward. He scored 29 goals for Vegas a couple of years ago. But he spent the first 4 years of his career in Minnesota. Was he an expansion draft guy? Was he left open for the expansion draft? Is that how Vegas even got him? And then he went to Vegas and had a pretty decent year and then went to Carolina. And then Lucas Walmark, who's a young center, fourth round pick in 2014, has 10 goals. So I think those are two bottom six guys. Two bottom six forwards at the NHL level, and then two NHL guys. Chase Prisky, who is a defenseman who played here at Quinnipiac. He's with the Charlotte Checkers of the AHL.
Yeah, he's a local kid.
And then E2 Larsson-Kaprinen, I can't pronounce this guy's name either, a Finnish center who was a second-round pick in 2017. So maybe that's the highest pick. So Vincent Trocheck, who I love, went to Carolina, another team vying for the playoffs. People, you know, when I bought Vincent Trocheck last, we were like, why would they trade him to another team in the playoffs? Well, apparently he was available. Went to Carolina for a package that did not include a first-round pick or even a former first-round pick. So you could have been in on that. You easily could have matched that package. That's going to frustrate me. If they come away for nothing and didn't get involved with Vincent Trocheck, that would frustrate me. So there's a you want some frustration on the Bruins, there's it for you right there. All right, let's just go to your phones on everything from the weekend. It is a reentry Monday. Jason and Easton, lead us off.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I actually agree with both of you guys on different things. Mike, I agree with you on the Heinen for Richie deal. I mean, at least if the offense is a wash, at least they got a guy that's 230 pounds and isn't going to get pushed around. And I think he'll fit nicely with Coyle. Maz, I agree with you. They still need to go and get Kyle Palmieri. They have the cap space now to add one more guy. And I think if you got him, you know, for a second in Bjork or whatever they're going to, you know, give up for him, that would round out the top nine perfect.
Okay, that would be a good move. You know, him or Trocheck would be perfect there on that right side. And now you've got, now you not just have a right winger for Krejci, you have a right winger for Coyle, who I'm sorry has, I think he's been your best player since the break, and not that he's your best player, but I think he's your second center. I feel like he's just kind of past David Krejci. So either way, whether Kashe, the kid from Anaheim, goes to Krejci and Coyle gets someone, or vice versa, you know, whatever. You each give those guys a right wing because they have their left wings. Coyle plays well with Bjork. Krejci plays well with DeBrusk, obviously. So you kind of have a spot. You kind of need two right wings.
I mean, see, to me, that's the ideal situation, is that you end up getting another guy. Like, I don't know, again, I'm probably going on what my expectations were and what the names were flying around and the kind of year they're having. I was expecting something a little bit bigger than what they've done.
Vincent Trocheck goes for a package that does not include a first-round pick or even a former first-round pick. What is up with that? I would like to think you would have been involved in that. Dave and Weymouth on the fight on Saturday night. What'd you think, Dave?
Yeah, it will go in the records as a seventh-round knockout. It really was a third-round knockout. Wilder never recovered from that overhand right, and it actually would have been better for him if it had just been a knockout at that point for a couple reasons.
Oh, you think?
One, obviously, yeah, because he took a lot of damage the rest of the fight, but also, if you go on Twitter, there's a lot of talk about that punch having landed in the back of the head. But because it was such a dominant performance by Fury, you're not really hearing a lot about that. But if that had been the end of the fight, I think that punch would have been under a lot more scrutiny, and a lot of people would have said, hey, I think Fury kind of got away with one there.
Huh. Well, maybe. I don't know. I thought Wilder showed me something by staying on his feet-ish for another four rounds or staying in the fight.
I mean, he was done for three or four rounds. He was done.
Cooked.
Watching him, he was stumbling all over the place. He's wobbly, like rubber-legged. The whole time I was looking at him, this guy's cooked. It's over. Unless he somehow recovers in between rounds.
But do you agree that he showed you something by staying in there?
Yes. I mean, but I knew he was tough. Like
I didn't.
Oh, I thought he could take a punch.
I'd never seen him beat up like that.
Well, that was worse.
But not that I've been watching since the beginning of his career, but I've never seen him take a beating like that.
Yeah, but he's been knocked down and gotten up and won.
I've seen plenty of fights where he's been down, like down in the cards and being outboxed and outpointed. I've never seen him beat up. I've never seen in that
it was
first
a straight up ass kicking.
Oh my God, he got pounded in this fight.
In the first Fury fight, he was way down, but he wasn't beat up. This fight, he got beat up.
Yeah, and I don't remember which fight it was. Maybe it was the first one with Ortiz. Didn't he get knocked down in that fight and then get up and won it? And so, like, to me, that takes something. So, like, I sort of felt like Wilder could take a punch. No, in this one, he took about 50. I mean, he got absolutely killed in this fight. Honestly, I thought he got exposed is what happened. Now, look, I don't know if there was something going on with his leg or what, but he got exposed. I mean, Fury picked him apart.
Isaiah in Boston with the Celtics thought here on Reentry Monday. Go ahead, Isaiah.
How do you guys not watch this game and watch this bench play every night? It's so annoying. It took until the second quarter, 7 minutes and 32 seconds to finally score. It's like every time the starters go to the bench, the Lakers took off. Every night it's the same thing with this bench. You mean to tell me you couldn't trade none of these bench players away?
Don't you listen to the Celtics writers, Isaiah? There's no room. There's no room on the roster.
Javonte Green, Will Grant.
No, it's too hard of a roster decision to move on from Vincent Poirier or Javonte Green or any of these guys. What do you want Danny to do? The roster's full. I read the coverage. It's a full roster. There's no room there. It's too hard of a decision to move on from a young guy that you've drafted or developed. They're 15 full, man. Never mind, their bench had, I think, 3 field goals yesterday.
It was what, 11 points in the game for the bench?
3. 3 field goals.
I have felt this way for a long time, and I know Murray has said it. Their bench blows. Their bench blows. And this is, and look, I know I've said in the past, and you know, you'd love to throw this one in my face, the whole idea of, well, you know, I thought the bench didn't matter. You got to have a couple of guys that can come in and get you some points. You got to have that. So, like, their bench is a joke. When they go up against good teams, it's going to kill them.
When you are a contender, which is what they are, which is different than saying favorite, but when you're a contender, your general manager should make moves on the margins to improve every little bit you can, because it all comes out in the wash. Sort of like the Bruins are doing. Not as much as I'd like, but, you know, we still got time to go. What has Danny Ainge done? That bench, 3 for 11. And I'm not sure what's the worst number, the 3 or the 11.
And if you want to make yourself really crazy,
you only take 11 shots? Go ahead.
If you want to make yourself real crazy, look at the recent game log for that Davis Bertans, the Latvian Beetle in Washington. Just the other day, it was a loss to Chicago, but he comes off the bench, or it was like 22 points, 5 rebounds.
How about the Marvin Williams character? Has he played? Has he done anything?
I haven't followed it. But Bertans was the perfect fit for them.
Oh, 2 first-round picks, Maz. You can't give those up. Not when
he
you have 3.
Available.
I don't buy that.
Oh, no, he was available. They just weren't willing to pay the price. Because, you know, I think they feel like he's going to re-sign in Washington, and I would say, so what? Do it anyway.
Frank the Tank on the Bees today. What do you expect?
Well, look, I mean, I'm as disappointed as you are, Mike, on the Strocheck thing. I thought that was a decent package. You could have given something like that up to get him.
That was a bag. They got a bag of Jags. Maybe that second-round pick, the Laus Tenarin guy, maybe he's something, but the rest are just guys.
It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like they went deep into their cupboard to go get the guy. I mean, that anybody could have done that deal. I don't understand what he was waiting on with that. But as far as the deal that they made today, the thing I like about it is that you traded a boy for a man. All right, this guy's 6'2", 230 pounds. He will defend his teammates. He will crash the boards. He will throw his weight around. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not a 30-goal scorer or anything, but I think he can really fit perfectly on that third line with Coyle. And, you know, at least this is a move showing that, you know what, we got to get a little tougher. We got to get a little bit meaner. I hope he's not done, but so far, so good. But don't sit on your hands, Don. You got some time left. Try to go out and get something else, maybe even a defenseman that can throw his weight around.
Sure. I just like the tinkering. Tinker. You're a contender. You're one of the top 3-4 teams in the league. You're going to be right there, and every little bit is going to matter. So tinker with your roster. Improve where you can. Don't overvalue your Jag players like the Celtics seem to do. And I'm glad you didn't overvalue Danton Heinen, for crying out loud. He didn't do anything for your club. So we continue with your thoughts. How much longer do we have to go, Jimmy, until the NHL trade deadline? What do we got?
30 minutes until the NHL trade deadline.
Can you get me a f***ing name? I want a name. Get a name.
I feel like Murray's getting a little antsy. It is a re-entry Monday. It is presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com, East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. There has been activity in the NHL. Murray will tell you all about it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Held in by Mott, shoveled far side. Stetcher shoots, he scores! Forced the play at the blue line, it's sent down low. Horvat's wide open in the slot, he scores! He'll dangle back of the net. Centers, they score! Canucks 3, Bruins 1. Backhand off the post, they score! Deflected out in front, they score. Stuffed home by Louis Erickson. Centered, Pettersson shoots, he scores! And it's 6-1 Canucks.
Again, wide open.
Got a guy out in front, he centers, they score! It's Toffoli, his first goal is a Canuck. In the slot, Toffoli shoots, they score! Toffoli squeezes it by him for a second of the period. Virtanen shoots, he scores! And this game has gone final. After the Bruins shut out the Canucks in the first meeting earlier this month, 4-0, the Canucks pay him back with a 9-3 victory here at Rogers Arena in Vancouver.
That's how the Bruins' winning streak came to an end Saturday night. I was watching the fight. Thank God I didn't see a second of that. I dismiss it, unless it leads to something else. I just think wire to wire, Bruins have been dialed in this year. Pretty much wire to wire. And a little bit of a dip there. What was it, November into December? But I think for the most part, they've been a focus-driven team. And that was their third game in four nights, second at back-to-back, blah, blah, blah. Unless it's become something else, I think that's a one-off. Otherwise, they've shown that they've sort of been a driven team from the very first game, and they should be rewarded today at the deadline by the GM adding to the team even more than he has. I don't think it's been bad. I mean, I'm glad they've done what they've done. I like the Cache move. That's going to be an upgrade. And I like that they swapped out Danton Heinen for someone bigger. So I'm pleased with those two. Could I use one more? Yeah, I could use one more. I think we all could. Murray, you said that the interest in Joe Thornton has waned. Who wrote that?
Joe McDonald of The Athletic tweeted about 20 minutes ago that he's hearing the possibility of Joe Thornton returning to the Bruins has cooled.
That's too bad. That's unfortunate.
Man, that would have been a good storyline.
Oh, yeah, real shame.
We'll see. Still got 21 minutes to go. Open up with whatever you want from the weekend. It is a re-entry Monday. Back to your phones. Ed in the Granite State. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Tony. How are you?
Good.
Hey, you guys, you're all wrong. You're thinking in the wrong direction. This Boston Bruins team is the best team in the league. We've got the best offense, the best defense. Our problem, and historically our problem in the playoffs, has been goaltending. Tuukka Rask has to go. I mean, he lost to the Flyers in the playoffs. We were up 3-0. We lost that series in 7. We were up 1-0 against the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Ed, without going into the history, I know the history. You can't, as much as his history is his history, and I know, and we've hit it as hard as anyone. I know what his history is. He's going to win the Vezina. You just got to ride or die with it. It's just what it is. You're not going to trade the best goalie in the league. And right now, he's the best goalie in the league.
And look, the Flyer series, and I'm not saying we should forget it. It was 10 years ago.
I mean, come on now.
It was 10 years ago.
You want to blame him for 2 goals on 4 shots just 6 months ago? Fine.
Yeah, like last year, Game 7 in play. Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the year before, and the year before. And so the last recent history, yep, that boy needs a Stanley Cup. And as star-crossed as his history has been and as many doubts as I've had about him in the past, he's right now the best goalie in the league. You don't trade it. You just ride or die, and you hope he comes through this time. And I'll tell you again, I think this year he will. Now, that's not a guarantee you win the cup. I'm just telling you, if you get to a Game 7 like you did last year in that sort of situation, he'll come through. Maybe the Lightning rub you out in 5 games and it never gets to that point. But I'm telling you, if it comes down to a Game 7, he's going to come through this time.
I mean, he had a miserable night on Saturday. Okay, but fine. Like you said, when's the last time they lost like that?
Not all year.
They haven't lost like that in multiple years. They never lose like that.
Opener last year against Washington.
Okay, 7.
Yeah, good one. Good
right.
one.
Yeah, that is. That's a good one, Murray. And so, but that's the point. That's the kind of one night a year you play like that, right? I mean, there's no way they're that bad. And Last year, he was the best goalie in the postseason. I know Game 7 was a disaster, but he was the best goalie in the postseason. He's been the best goalie all year.
You just got to hope he comes through this time. That's it. That's all there is to it. And I even feel differently this year than last year. Last year, I said, and Rask was very good last year, too. But so was Halak. I said, thank God Halak is just sitting right there just in case. Just in case to push him or to take over. And I know this coach has the balls to do it. And the coach even hinted at it, you know, going into the playoffs last year. How many times would Cassidy say, we have two guys who've done it. We have two guys who've done it. And he sort of laid the groundwork for what, you know, we're not just going to. But that was last. This year, Halak hasn't been as good. And so I feel a little bit differently about it. It's Rask, and he's just got to come through this year. We got Sean in Worcester on the fight Saturday night. What do you think, Sean? Sean?
Oh, hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
First things first, all hail the Gypsy King. What a performance. We haven't talked once about that. May be the most championship-level adjustment we've seen in years in any sport. From the first fight to the second fight, just incredible. He beat Wilder with two different styles. And just really a breathtaking
Okay, your phone's mediocre, but let me pick up on it. It's a great point. He beat Wilder soundly in that first fight. If it wasn't for the 12th round knockdown, he walks away with that thing. I don't know, maybe 8-4 or something like that. It was a clear win in the first fight. And instead of just doing that again and saying, well, I'm not going to get knocked down in the 12th round this time, it changed his entire approach, which I thought was death. Like, we're going to sit in the middle of the ring and attack this guy and open yourself up to get hit by Deontay Wilder? What are you, nuts? He did it. He fired his trainer, even though he's never lost. Changes his style and absolutely beat the bag out of him.
I mean, he was the aggressor from the opening bell.
It's tremendous.
He ran to the center of the ring in the opening bell. He was right out there, and he's pushing Wilder back the whole night.
Awesome.
And then when he got him against the ropes, he leaned on him over and over and over again. 273 pounds of absolute massive British humanity just leaned on him.
Unbelievable how much bigger he looked than Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is 6'7", about 240. And he looked, by the second or third round, it was like, he's not big enough.
Correct.
Tyson Fury is a freaking monster.
Fury can fight too, man. he's not just this absolute blob that hangs all over you. He can fight. He absolutely walloped him. And he kept pushing him back. And look, I don't know whether something was wrong with Wilder or not, but he got exposed in that fight.
So he hinted that he had a leg thing after the fight, which sounded like excuse making. I could it just simply be that... that shot to the ear? The guy, Wilder's bleeding out his ear all night. Like, it was just vicious. It was brutal. It was wonderful. Bleeding out his ear. That was from that overhand right in the third round or whatever it was. Could it just been that? And he lost his equilibrium because he was sort of like all over the place after that.
So I don't know if it was his someone in his corner said he had a cut on the inside of his ear. That was the quote.
Yeah.
On the broadcast, they said, you have to wonder if he, you know, burst an eardrum. That's what I think happened. He got absolutely freaking cold cocked. And then all of a sudden he was staggering around the ring the rest of the night. That was it. I mean, again, I don't know how you come away from that fight not taking Tyson Fury seriously. And to me, the next one is Fury Joshua. That's the one. And I think Joshua could beat Fury because he's more of a boxer.
He can't take that kind of pounding, though. Joshua doesn't have the chin. Wilder showed me something, staying in there for seventh round. If that were Josh, I mean, I who knows? Joshua's a better fighter than Wilder. I don't know if he's tough enough.
No, he doesn't have the chin, for sure, but he can box.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on that. It's a reentry Monday. NHL trade deadline now less than 15 minutes away. Will Don Sweeney make one final move? The very latest here. Don't leave your radio.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now just minutes away from the NHL trade deadline.
Can you just pull off a f***ing blockbuster just once? Huh? Come on!
All right, T-minus 9 minutes. T-minus 9 minutes. I'll tell you, even if they do nothing in the next 9 minutes, I'm still okay with their deadline. I'm not over the moon, but I just appreciate the tinkering. And Kashe should be an upgrade. He should be an upgrade over freaking Danton Heinen or whatever they were putting on the right side of Charlie Coyle. It should be, or whoever, or Krejci is what I really mean to say. That's who we skated with yesterday. So that's an upgrade. And I like that they moved on from Danton Heinen, got a little bigger. And so, like, I'm okay. You have to do something to tinker with the mix and try and improve on the margins. And you don't get stupid to do something just to do something. But I'm okay with what they've done. I'm not over the moon. But let's see if we can get something here in the next 8 minutes or so.
I just felt like they needed a second line right wing, and I don't know if they got one. I mean, you know, maybe the Kashe turns out fine. And again, I didn't love their deadline last year, and both those guys were terrific in the playoffs.
Okay, so we take your thoughts right up into it. It is a reentry Monday, so everything from the weekend, that great Celtics game yesterday, the fight, if you want, on Saturday night. You have one open line at 617-779-0985. I guess the Joe Thornton thing has cooled, unfortunately, for me. I would have liked the story. I think it would have been a fit, actually. Jay in Boston, what do you think?
I agree with you, Mike. Mike Tony, first-time call. It's a real honor to speak to you, Mike. Let me just say this about Jumbo Joe, a Hall of Famer. This is a guy who the other night scored two goals. He really wants to leave there, put his name on the cup after 22 years. It's kind of like Ray Bourque leaving here, you remember, to get his name on the cup. I think that Joe is the kind of a guy that could help him on the second power play. We're going to have injuries. It could be 28 games in the playoffs,
right,
four rounds.
Right.
So I'm just saying, as an insurance policy, just that, you know, if he could cut that beard, be rejuvenated just for these 28 games, I think he'd play out of his mind just to get his name on the cup. I appreciate talking to you.
Okay,
Sean.
Babe, I agree with everything you just said. You don't believe in karma, Murray? A little bit?
Nope.
Come on.
No.
A little bit of that emotional pull?
No, I don't want the stink of loser in that locker room. It's already there. It emanates from this team enough. The disappointment that's in the DNA of the Boston Bruins. You're going to bring him back? No, thanks.
It's like you just...
No, I don't believe in it, and I don't want him near the team. Black cat. You have it in goal already with Rask.
So you're not as optimistic. You're not feeling as good about this team, huh? Tristan in Rhode Island, your thoughts on the Bees.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about Charlie Coyle really quick. And you guys were saying how you think he's been the best player like just the past few weeks. I think he's been maybe not the best player, but one of the more important players on our team since we've acquired him. I mean, he's in the playoffs, he steps up. In the regular season, we need him to step up, he steps up. I feel like we need to find a guy to play with him. I think he's surpassed Krejci this season, like you said earlier, Felger.
Yeah, I think he's their number two center right now. I do. And I haven't looked at the playing time recently, but I feel like Cassidy's throwing him out there more than Krejci. He's in all situations. He's killing penalties. I feel like he's gotten more run than Krejci, and I feel like he deserves more run than Krejci. He plays a man's game. He's just powerful with the puck, you know, the possession game. Now, I don't think he sets people up like Krejci. It's not like so he's not a centerman like that. He's not a setup guy. He really needs the puck. But when he has it, you can't get him off of it. And there's just times he looks physically dominant. And if you can add that to the finish, if he can finish, then it's like, oof, you're looking at a guy with the complete package there.
I mean, he looks really confident the way he's playing right now, too. He's last couple of goals he scored, he's been out in front of the net alone, and it's like he's playing in the freaking, you know, playground or the pond. I mean, he looks as loose as can be, for crying out loud.
5 minutes to go. See what we got. We've got Ray in the car on the Celtics this week. And what did you think about yesterday, Ray?
Felgate.
Yo.
We have a new Claude Julien in town.
Huh.
His name is Brad Stevens.
So what did you not like yesterday?
Fourth quarter, he takes out Jason Tatum at the end of the third quarter. Now, Jason Tatum has his coming out party on national TV. The kid is going to be a proverbial top five player in the league. He's on the bench, Felgi, until 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. And he's got Langford and Brad Wanamaker. Tony Mazz is a better point guard at the Waltham YMCA than Brad Wanamaker.
Don't tell me short.
I tell you what, yesterday made me miss Rajon Rondo, and I can't stand that dude. But
he's a pest when he wants to be.
But I mean, like, he sort of filled that role, right? Yeah. Like, he's become kind of Marcus Smarty for them. And he exposed Wanamaker. Your bench blows. Mass is right. And
it has sucked all year.
And Ainge can't be, you know, you just can't be bothered to give up one of these jags at the end of your bench. Just can't be bothered. I don't know if there's a roster spot for a guy in the buyout market. That sort of came up yesterday. How many minutes did Tatum have?
38.
So is Steven supposed to play him into the
40s? I thought it was an 8 to 6. 36 and a half. Okay. Even so, I mean, yeah, what are you going to play him 42, 43 minutes in a game in February?
No, that my beef with Stevens yesterday was that stupid challenge. In the last 2 minutes, it cost them a timeout that you lost an opportunity to get the ball in the front court at the end.
Yeah, they could have used that timeout at the end.
You needed it.
Yeah, they were taking the timeout there anyway, so why not challenge it?
Well, so look, to me, though, on the play, like...
Why are you taking a timeout there? It was a foul.
Get you a little bit more of a rest time for your players.
They just don't reverse those. They don't.
And he was going to the line. You had a little bit of a rest. You needed that timeout. He usually hoards them, and he almost always has them at the end of the game. He cost him in that game.
That whole sequence pissed me off because, again, I thought Smart held onto the ball too long, for crying out loud. What are you doing?
Well, that was that too, yeah.
I mean, Tatum's having the day of the ages here, for crying out loud. He got him the ball too late. Whether they called the foul or not, he didn't have enough time to get the shot off. What the hell is Smart doing? Get rid of the freaking ball.
3 minutes. To go, Donnie. Here's Scott New Bedford on the fight. Go ahead, Scott.
Always trickles.
Hey, guys. How's it going? You hit on it before the break that I think possibly it reminded me, I think it was Gotti Ward 3, where Gotti had ruptured Ward's eardrum, and he just couldn't get his legs back for the rest of the fight. And it seemed like it was something to do with that, from that shot that he took to the left side of the head. Maybe it will come out, maybe not, but huge fright from Fury, and he just beat the crap out of him.
What a great night for Fury. I think he did expose Wilder.
Totally did.
Wilder doesn't have much of a game. I mean, as much as I love him and as powerful as he is, he is just 1-2.
Yeah, that's right.
Left jab, big right. Left jab, big right. That's it. It's like he has no other game. He has no other...
It's really just the right hand.
I mean, it is. And he'll throw the left thing out there just to sort of set it up, but all it is, 1-2.
Yeah. I mean, even it's not like the jab's anything to write home about. Fury's jab's good.
Excellent.
He's got a good jab.
And he moves behind it, and the whole thing bobs, and like he's... For a freaking giant of a man, he moves wonderfully.
He does. I mean, he's a good fighter. And you do. You look at him and you say, this guy's a clown. You can't help but look at him and think he's just an oaf.
When he came in as heavy, you know, we heard that like late last week that he put on weight, right? And when he came in the ring, I said, oh boy, he really did put on weight. I'm like, this is not good. Is he not training? Is he drinking? Is he like, because you sort of wonder Fury's had these problems in the past. It's like, where's he been this week? And when I saw that weight, I'm like, oh, Fury's in trouble. He didn't get ready for this fight. He's fat. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Absolutely.
He knew exactly what he was doing. He was going to attack Wilder. He was going to be the physical aggressor. He was going to lean on him. He wanted that weight, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
And in fact, didn't they say before the fight, too, that Wilder put on weight for the fight?
He did.
And now you know why. I mean, so he clearly felt it after that first fight. And he said, I can't let this guy just lean on me because I'm not going to last. Was it you who told me, by the way, that about the spot between the ear and the jaw?
No.
So maybe it was Billy Lanny. That's where you get hit. And apparently that's the worst place to get hit, is right there under the ear, right where the ear connects to the jaw, that spot. He got absolutely freaking smashed right there, and that was it.
I thought he got poleaxed all night.
He did. He got killed.
I've never seen him look like... I've seen him get beat plenty, meaning pointed and be down on cards and be down in a fight. I see that all the time from Wilder. I've never seen his face look like that.
Yeah, he didn't look right to me from the beginning. It felt to me like he looked almost scared, like he was backing up. Like, so, I don't know. It's no excuse. I don't know whether something was wrong or not. But when he had to box, he got absolutely freaking picked apart. He got smashed in the face over and over again.
Okay, the NHL trade deadline is here. 3 p.m. on the Monday, February 22nd. And now we wait for the trickle. There's usually a late trickle. They file at this time, and then the announcements come shortly after 3 o'clock. So we'll see if Don Sweeney has done anything else other than the Danton Heinen trade for Nick Ritchie and the Cache trade from last week. No commercials here. When we come back, we'll give the latest at the NHL trade deadline. I have a giveaway for you as well, something for free. I know you'll like that. We'll assess the Bruins here post-deadline. All of it coming your way after the update. Again, there's no spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.